Come on, you can do better than that. Anybody grateful that the Lord has given you another chance and another day that was not promised to us? We thank God. What a joy it is. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and declare that it is He is the only name by which men and women, boys and girls can be saved. Help me to thank the Lord for your pastor on today. Help me to celebrate 30 years of ministry. And look at what the Lord has done. It is marvelous in our eyes. Your pastor is someone incredibly special. And we thank God for the incredible way in which the Lord has blessed him as serving for 30 years. Watching that video and hearing all the amazing accomplishments. You ought to know the Lord is pleased. The Lord has said he would give you shepherds after his own heart. And he has blessed you, Good Hope, with exactly what the Lord would have for you. And we praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor, for your vision, for your preaching, for your ministry outside the walls of this church. Thank you for lifting up the word of God every single Sunday. The Lord has used you in mighty ways, and we celebrate his hand upon your life. There are several individuals that have come out of the lineage of the Concord Church that are great names, and Dr. D.Z. Cofield is one of those great names that we are super fond of, super grateful for how the Lord has used him. Pastor Bailey had over 150 sons in the ministry. And by far, what the Lord has done through the life and ministry of Dr. D.Z. Cofield has been a blessing to us all. Sister Bailey sends her love as well. And we are grateful, grateful, grateful. I am deeply honored to be here on this 30th church anniversary, 30th pastoral anniversary. And I am grateful indeed. Pastor Cofield, we brought something from the church to indicate our love. All the way from Dallas without bringing some type of gift to let you know how much we love you and how much we thank God for your ministry. Family, you ought to see how you're looking at me. You're looking at me like, I hope he can preach. And I'm looking back at you like, I hope you can pray. Because if you pray, then maybe the Lord will give us the grace we need to be able to share God's word together on today. I want to invite you, if you will, family, to grab your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 9. The book of Acts, chapter 9, if you will. And I want to read just a couple of verses out of that particular chapter on this morning. Acts, chapter 9. I want to read for our hearing today verses 15 and 16. Verses 15 and 16. And here's what the Lord of God says. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Amen. Father, we thank you for this privilege and opportunity for us to stand together as your people, to be able to spend some time in your word today. And so, Lord, I simply pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart may be acceptable in your sight. I pray, God, that I would decrease and that you would increase so that you are glorified in this place. It is in your Son Jesus' name that we say this prayer, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. For a few moments today, I want to talk about answering the call. Answering the call. I am the son of a church planter. My dad started a church when I was about 9 years old. And I spent much of my early years as a teenager helping him as a bivocational pastor. He would work most days from 9 to 5, but then he would then in the evenings on the weekend spend much of his time investing in that church. The church was a small family church, and so he had taken old buildings and remodeled them, renovated them in the churches. Did this on 2 occasions. Over 25 years he would pastor and really pour his heart out. I saw him take a few days off and really invest in building, not just the building, but also in building people. He loved doing things for people that were young, didn't have opportunities. He loved doing ministry for those that were often the least and the left out. But I often think about his memory when God called him home in 2005,
I admired his ministry because his ministry was that which set the tone for who I am today. Much of all what I learned by watching and serving with him. But it was this one thing that was the thread that kept him going, and that was his sense of calling. There was something in him that called him to keep preaching and keep serving. It was because he had a sense of calling. He didn't do ministry for the accolades or for the recognition or because he wanted something big for himself. But he did it because God had a calling on his life. In the same way, the reason that we are here today is that we have a pastor who has served faithfully for 30 years because he has a sense of calling on his life. Dr. Cofield doesn't do what he does for recognition or because he needs something to do. No, he does it because every morning when he wakes up, he's reminded that God has a calling on his life. Friends, that is the same ideal that is found in Acts chapter 9 when we encounter a man by the name of Saul who will later be called Paul. His name is interrupted in the text because Saul is on his way to Damascus to persecute the church. But on his way to do this, the Bible tells us a light from heaven shines down, strikes him off the horse, and Jesus says to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul there is blinded for a moment, blinded for a few days. But right there in verses 15 and 16, we get the call from God upon Saul's life. Allow me to lift up just a few truths for us this morning to help us as we continue to celebrate our pastor. Here's the first one. I have a calling to carry. The text says this way, "He is my choice," verse 15. That word chosen means that God has deliberately picked Saul. Saul did not have the best reputation. Matter of fact, Ananias didn't really want to go and talk to Saul because he didn't trust Saul. But here is God who the text says, "He is my chosen instrument. He is my choice." Chosen is the same phrase used when God chose the people of Israel. Now he uses the same ideal and says, "Now I have chosen Ananias." He says, "Ananias is my pick." The reason this is interesting is because Saul might not be your pick or my pick. You see, we like to pick stuff based on people's abilities and their resumes and what they've accomplished and where they've come from. But when God picks people, God doesn't pick you based on your LinkedIn account, based on who you know, based on how much money you have in the bank. God picks the foolish. God picks the ones that we wouldn't pick, because when God does something through them, he doesn't want them to get credit. He wants him to get the credit. Oh, somebody in the room has to be honest and understand that you may not have been picked by others, but thank God you've been picked by God. Thank God God saw something in you when others didn't see anything in you. And by the grace of God, he has chosen you. Matter of fact, you can't even explain how you've done what you've done, how God has seen through what he's seen you through. It doesn't even make sense. You can't even connect the dots. But can I connect the dots for you? God chose you. When you were in your mother's womb, God chose you. When the side of town you grew up on, they didn't say much came out of that side of town. He has chosen you. Not only has he chosen you, but secondly, the text says, he is his chosen instrument. He says, he is my choice, but he also says, he is my instrument. He says, the instrument of mine, that word instrument, it means vessel or object. It means possession through which the work has been done. Paul said, and God says to Ananias, Saul is my chosen instrument. He is the instrument through which the object, the person, the equipment through which I want to do the work that God has called and God has ordained. An instrument could be an inanimate object. in the temple, there was furniture and different tools were instruments that were used by the priest and the priests to do the duties God had called him to. The job of the instrument was to be surrendered to the one that was using it. There was no power in the instrument. The power was in whose hand the instrument was in. If the instrument was in the right hand, mighty things could be done because of whose hand that it's in. Friends, you got to understand that you and I are instruments, but it all depends on whose hand the instrument is. Dr. E.K. Bailey used to talk about this story, that it all depends on whose hand that it's in. Friends, a basketball in my hand will get you a double dribble, but a basketball in Steph Curry's hand will get you 4 championship rings. A tennis racket in my hand will get your balls going everywhere. But a tennis racket in Serena Williams' hand will get you a Wimbledon championship. A golf club in my hand will get you a slice every single time. But a golf club in the hands of Tiger Woods will get you a green jacket. A football in my hand will lead to a fumble ball. But a football in Tom Brady's hands will lead to 7 championships. A peanut in my hand will be eaten. But a peanut in the hands of George Washington Carver will give you over 300 products. It all depends on whose hand that you're in. When you put your life in God's hand, God will do through your life what nobody else can do. He'll take a mess and give you a message. He'll take someone from a mixed background and do in your life that something nobody else can do. Friend, put your life in the hands of God. Oh, I'm glad that Dr. Z.C. Cofield has made himself available to God. And we have been able to witness an instrument of God these 30 years because it all depends on whose hand it's in. He says he's a chosen instrument of mine. Mine. Notice the text says he's mine. He's a chosen instrument of mine. That word mine or my, it means he is my instrument. He is an instrument of mine. It conveys God's ownership of the instrument. But he's saying Saul no longer belongs to Saul. But Saul now has had a change in authority, and now Saul belongs to me. He said every periodically our church goes through a process where it labels all the equipment that's there. And so on each object there's a label that says property of Concord Church. Because maybe not here, but sometimes people will take stuff home that belongs to the church. So we put labels to help remind this belongs to us. But the label is only an indication of who it belongs to. But I came by to remind you, friends, that there's a label on your life. There's a label on your life that says God's property. That you belong to God. You don't just belong to anybody else. People can't talk to you any kind of way, treat you any kind of way, use you any kind of way, because you are no longer under the old authority. If any man or woman be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, because you are God's property. He says to Ananias, don't you judge Saul on who he used to be, because Saul used to be under his own control, but now Saul is under new management. He now belongs to me to do my work. I have a calling to carry. But not only do I have a calling to carry, secondly, I have a name to carry. Look at the text, friends, in verse 15. He's my chosen instrument of mine. Carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. I have a calling to carry, but I also have a name to carry. To carry in the Greek is the word baptizo. It means to pick up, to bear, to carry, to move while holding up, to raise up, to lift up. He says Saul is going to pick up my name, lift up my name, raise my name, hold up my name. Carry my name is to bear witness about that name. He says to Saul, this man with a sordid past who now has a new assignment. This man who was trying to destroy the church now has a new assignment to carry the name of Jesus Christ. He will be a carrier of that name. And the text says he will carry that name everywhere that he goes. He will carry that name across the entire known world of the time. He will carry that name to prisons and to palaces. He will carry that name to the educated and the uneducated. He will carry that name to the rich and the poor. He will carry that name to everywhere that God would send him. He would say, carry that name. And friends, we live in a day and age where many preachers and pastors are carrying names, but they carry their own name, and they carry what they are and how great they are. They carry their own name. They even carry the name of prosperity and health and wealth, and they carry anything of popularity and success to build up their name. And they have settled for a lesser name. But he tells us there is no greater name you can carry than to carry the name of Jesus Christ. There are some churches you go in today and you won't even hear his name called out loud. They want to reach everybody, but they reach nobody. He comes and tells us this is the task that Paul has been called to carry that name. And friends, that's exactly what Pastor Cofield has been carrying these 30 years. He has been carrying the name of Jesus Christ. Every time he stands, he wants to declare who he is, what he can do, and what he's called us to do. That is the name that ought to be lifted up these days. Not our name, but that name that's above every name. That name that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That name that can save the sinner. That name that can change our lives. That name that can take us from who we used to be to who we need to be. That name that can take the taste out of our mouths. That name that can change how we think and change how we live. Carry that name. And he tells him that Paul is going to carry that name to three groups of people. The Gentiles first. There was a new door that was opening in the life of the church. Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, now Gentiles would have an opportunity to know Jesus. And God would use Paul as this instrument to carry the name to the Gentiles so that they in turn could know who and what Jesus was. But it wouldn't just stop there. He would also carry the name to kings. He says that even those that have a high position in government, they too need Jesus. He says, you're going to be the one that I'm going to use to carry the name so that those people of influence also know they need Jesus. And then he says, I want you to carry it to the children of Israel, the people that should have already known but had rejected him, because church folk need the gospel too. Sometimes we need to start with the gospel among us, because sometimes we can be around it and not understand it. We can know all the right phrases, but not be able to have the right lifestyle. And he says, I've called you to carry that name to all groups because everybody needs to know Jesus. I love this because he tells Saul, I want you to carry my name to these groups. What's interesting is that you would think that God would choose somebody else. But God says, no, I want Saul because he is uniquely qualified to reach these kind of people because that's who he used to be. And sometimes God uses your past to qualify you to reach some people that nobody else can reach. That sometimes it's the relationships that we have and the work that we've done that God turns around and says, what you thought was going to be a weakness, I'm going to turn it around into an advantage and use you to work in my kingdom. I have a name to carry. Friend, when you go to work tomorrow, carry that name. When you're with your friends, carry that name. When you're at home, carry that name. When things are going well, carry that name. When you don't understand, carry that name. When you're winning in life, carry that name. When you're losing in life, carry that name. Friends, you got a call on your life to carry that name. I have a calling to carry. I have a name to carry. And finally, I have suffering to carry. Look at the text, friends. He says, and I will show him, verse 16, how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. I want you to catch this, friends. He says, to carry my name is to suffer for my name. And to suffer for my name is to carry my name. That phrase, suffer, it means to go through emotional pain. It means to go through suffering. The text says, and I will show him. Listen to Jesus tell Ananias, I'm going to take the personal assignment to show him how much he will suffer for my name. Friends, I want you to understand that calling and suffering are linked together. That you cannot have a call on your life and not also have a calling to suffer, because they are always go together. That bearing my name means suffering for my name. That when Jesus calls us to follow him, he doesn't say, deny yourself, take up your crown and follow me. He says, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, because you can't follow Jesus and not suffer. We cannot give into this idea that the Christian life is a call to the easy life. That all my problems go away, all my troubles go away, my kids go act right, my marriage go be right, my money go be right. No, that's not what the Bible says. John 16:33 says that in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. Matthew 5:10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. In other words, if you're going to serve God, you're going to have to learn how to suffer for God, because they always go together. Jeremiah suffered, Daniel suffered, David suffered, Hosea suffered, Zechariah suffered. It's the pattern of Christian life that suffering and a call always go together. Paul will enumerate his sufferings in 2 Corinthians 11:23-29. He would talk about all the suffering he had to go through. And I know, looking at you, friends, I know you've had your share of suffering in your life. Matter of fact, somebody right now, you're going through something, your family's going through something, your finances is going through something, and you are wondering, Lord, I'm trying to get close to you, but I don't understand some of the stuff that's happening in my life. And I came by to tell you that suffering and the call always go together. And just because you're suffering doesn't mean God has forgotten about you. No, you are right in the middle of God's plan. And God is using your suffering to develop you and to strengthen you. God is using your suffering, because somebody's looking at you and saying, how in the world are they still at church? How in the world have they still got a smile on their face? And all you can say back to them is, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You can't explain how God has kept you. I once was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread, because suffering and the calling go together. Friends, you have no idea all the stuff your pastor's had to deal with these 30 years, all the times, hard times he's had to face and overcome, but yet he still stood here in this sacred place and gave you a word when he needed a word himself. But God is so faithful and so somebody knows that just because you go through suffering, suffering doesn't discount your call or your ministry. Somebody in this room can testify you're the man or woman you are today because you've been through some stuff. If you hadn't been through nothing, you wouldn't have the faith that you have today. If you hadn't seen the struggles, you wouldn't have the prayer life you have today. But you can stand here today and say, I know what God can do. You can stand here today and say, God is a faithful God. Oh, yes, he is. I'm on my way to my seed family. But I got to tell you one last thing. If you carry that name will carry you. Hallelujah, somebody. If you carry that name will carry you. Yes. I said if you carry that name will carry you. His name is Prince of Peace. And when life gets chaotic, his name will carry you. His name is Wonderful Counselor. And when you don't know what to do, his name will carry you. His name is Mighty God. And when you want out of strength, his name will carry you. His name is Everlasting Father. And when you think you don't have anything left, his name will carry you. His name is Alpha and Omega. And when you don't know when the end's gonna be, you just look up to him. His name will carry you. His name is Jehovah Jireh. And when you don't have enough, don't know where it's gonna come from, just look to him and his name will carry you. Is there a witness in the room that can testify? His name will carry you. No matter what you call him, he'll carry you. He'll carry you through your 20s. He'll carry you through your 30s. He'll carry you through your 40s. He'll carry you through your 50s. Yes, he'll carry you. I've been young, but now I'm old. He'll carry you. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. He'll carry you. Yes, 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 yes. Tell your neighbor, he'll carry you. Find one more person. He'll carry you. Yes. Father, we bless your name today. Father, we give you glory. Thank you, Lord, that if we carry that name will carry us. As a matter of fact, Lord, that name has been carrying us through all of our ups and downs, through all of our highs and lows. That name has carried us. Thank you, God, for the call on our lives. Thank you, God, for the call on Dr. Cofield's life. Thank you, Lord, for 30 years of faithful service. Thank you, Lord, for his leadership, his vision. Thank you, Lord, that he's been an instrument in your hands. Lord, bless him. Lord, keep him. Lord, cover him. Lord, strengthen him. Lord, we honor you in this place, and we thank you, God. You are worthy, worthy, worthy. It's in the name of Jesus that we say this prayer, and God's people said amen.